Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, so we just want to thank you. I just hope.
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, dear. Yes, dear.
Can you hear me? Yes, I'm sorry. I had started for 7:30. That's sorry, I didn't call you. And yes, you can hang up, and I will go into the host, or you can just stay in the host on the host line.
Okay. You say you want me to pray?
Yes, please.
Okay. All right. Okay. Father, we just want to give you thanks and praise for the blessed Sabbath day that's coming, Lord. We thank you for preparation day that you have allowed us to prepare and sit at your welcome table. We thank you for our brothers and our sisters who joined, dear Father, and they were calling and asking how the line is not open. But, dear Father, you know everything. And at this time, dear Lord, we thank you that we can remember to join and to give you praise and to bring honor and glory to you. Thank you for all of us who is on this line tonight. Fill us with your sweet Holy. Thank you for taking us out there on the busy highway and brought us back home safely. We want to thank you. We want to thank you for what you have provided for us, we pray. And as we open the line now for brothers and sisters to hear and to give thanks and, you know, praises, Lord Jesus, because you are worthy to be praised. In Jesus' name we pray with thanksgiving. Amen, amen, amen. Yes, my dear beloved, we know that tonight is the true Sabbath rest restored. And we have some wonderful quote here in front. And I will just read a part of it, and then I turn over to Sister Carla, right? Preparing for the holy day, March 2. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And that is Exodus 28. And at the very beginning of the fourth commandment, the Lord said, remember, he knew that amid the multitude of cares and perplexity, man would be tempted to excuse himself from meeting the full requirement of the law or would forget its sacred importance. Therefore, he said, we must remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. All through the week, we are to have the Sabbath in mind and be making preparation to keep it according to the commandment. When the Sabbath is thus remembered, the temporal will not be allowed to encroach upon the spiritual. No duty pertaining to the 6 days' work will be left for the Sabbath. During the week, our energy will not be so exalted in temporal labor that on the day when the Lord rested and was refreshed, we shall be too weary to engage in this service. So we see what God said, and we know that we are depending upon God so that he will keep us, that we will not be weary when the Sabbath comes, but we will be refreshed, rejuvenated, that we can present God's word wherever we go. Thank you again, my dear beloved. I'm just going to turn over to Sister Carlo. Line now. 423-635, the line is open.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Sister Powell. Again, good evening, brothers and sisters. Thank you for joining us. God is good, and he's truly worthy to be praised and honored. And I just want to share Mark chapter 2, and verse 27. Mark chapter 2 and verse 27, it said, and he said unto them, the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore, the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. So we see there that the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. And the Son of Man, which is Jesus, is Lord also of the Sabbath. So This is not by chance that we are worshiping on the Sabbath preparation day. The sun has not set, but it is because that it was designed so from the beginning, before there was a nation, a Jewish nation. While there was only two on the earth, God has designed the Sabbath for us so that we, as his people, will remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. So this is what we're doing by God's grace, remembering the Sabbath day. And as we come together to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth, we just want to thank each and every one of my brothers and sisters for joining us. As on Friday, we will announce it Thursday again to make sure, but on Friday, preparation day, we'll try to start the line at 7:30 on Friday. Start the line, open the line at 7:30. So, and we'll announce it Thursday again so everyone can know. Amen. So I will go to the first caller that has pressed one again. Thank you for joining us. Blessed preparation day to each and every one of my brothers and sisters as we're all preparing to meet our Lord. So as the Sabbath is a preparation for us to get closer, to draw closer to God, to commune with him and to be at one, at one-ment, atonement with him, because we are in the last days and the Lord is soon to come. So let us prepare to meet the Lord. Our speaker will be joining us, Brother Troy Foster, and he will start at 8 o'clock. Brother Troy Foster will be speaking, bringing the message this evening. So I'll open the line for the first caller. Again, thank you for joining us, 985-232. Your line is now open.
Good evening, sisters and brothers. Happy Preparation Day. This is Sister Brenda calling from Hummer, Louisiana. I just want to thank God we're still in the land of the living one more time. And just thank God for being so good and so merciful to us. I just would like to read a prayer. Let me see which one. It's Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee rule over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy land. Matthew 25:23. Amen. I just want to thank God for his words. And like I said, we're still in the land of living. And I thank God for this prayer line and all our brothers and sisters that are on. Well, tonight, everyone is equipped. We had three hosts on just now. And I'm like, my, everyone is on task tonight. We got three hosts in the queue. So I just thank God for that. I said, well, we all ready. And sun just is bright over here. We have so much of heat over here. I thank God nothing come our way because it's just too hot. You know, the index and the heat wave over here where we live in Louisiana, Homer. And thank God nothing coming. But I just want to give y'all a little input on my 8-year-old grandson. He was talking with his friends on his phone, and he told the friends, he said, he sung a song to him. He said, let me tell y'all something. We going to see the king. He said, y'all want to go see the king? He said, let me tell y'all something. We got two kings. One is God, and one is Son Jesus. And one day we're going to see the king. And I want to go see the king. I don't know about y'all. I'm not ready right now, but I want to go see the king. I'm like in the bathroom, wow, he's deep today. I said, well, he knows the song. He got it all going on. I said, praise the Lord. He want to go see the king. And he ready to go see, but not today. Not right now. I said, boy, this little child got it going on. So I was praising the Lord. I said, I got to tell Sister Power and them this. But thank God. And y'all just keep us in prayer and continue praying for the children because, I mean, they got something to tell their mother. And they need, I said, y'all got to tell your mother that. But keep Edwin-like, go stronger. And all our brothers and sisters on the line and off the line and everybody else around the four corners, God bless. Amen. Brother John won't join tonight. He's been busy with the kids all week. And he's going to the head of camp.
Okay.
And it went, so God bless.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Sister Brenda, for sharing and coming on. And we know the children, as the parents are teaching them or other adults around them, they're decided in their mind what they're going to do. And by faith, we have to continue to pray for them and encourage them, brothers and sisters. So praise the Lord. Again, we have a couple hands up. Please be brief, brothers and sisters, with your testimony, prayer requests, or scripture reading. God is truly good, and he's worthy to be praised. And I will go ahead and open the line for 225-337. Your line is now open.
Good evening, my brothers and sisters. I just want to read, remember the Sabbath day. To keep
Amen.
It holy, 6 days shall thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth and the sea, and all them that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. I just want to say praise God. Thank you for your Sabbath. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Sister Carla, for opening my line.
Amen, amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Sister Leola, for reading the commandment that we all should be keeping, not just 10, but not just one or two or nine, but all 10 of them. So praise the Lord for the fourth commandment, the Sabbath day. And we know in that we see the Creator, we see the King, we see the Redeemer, we see our Lord of Lords. And he is worthy to be praised, and he wants us to keep the Sabbath day holy, even in his in the spirit of prophecy. It says there is another work that should receive attention on the preparation day. On this day, all differences between brethren, whether in the family or in the church, should be put away. Let all bitterness and wrath and malice be expelled from the soul. In a humble spot one to another, and pray one for another. Before the setting of the sun, let the members of the family assemble to read God's word, to sing and pray. We should jealously guard the edge of the Sabbath. Remember that every moment is consecrated, holy time. So every moment of the Sabbath is consecrated, holy time. So may the Lord help us that we will remember these consecrated holy time as the Sabbath is upon us, that everything should be done in decency and in order. Amen. So again, thank you, Sister Leola, for sharing. I'll go to the next caller again. Good evening, brothers and sisters. Thank you for joining us. Those that are in Japan, China, Sweden, Canada, and throughout the United States, Netherlands also, thank you for joining us via the internet, and all those that are listening, we welcome you. So I will open the line for 518-482. Your line is now open.
Good evening, Sister Carlo. Welcome back.
Amen.
I'm so happy to be here this evening because I've missed so much. But I thank God that I can come on this line to just a few words of encouragement to us on this Christian journey, this Christian life that we are striving to live.
I read from Matthew 5. It says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for theirs the kingdom, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And we know all the rest. Blessed are they that persecuted for righteousness' sake, and all of this. We know all of it. And my dear brothers and sisters, as we are living in these last days, there is so much going on. So much. For the past few weeks, I have heard so many funerals, so many deaths. It's not funny, but God is with us. And we as Christians have to keep our heads up. And I would like to sing this song because this song is an encouragement to me, and I hope it will be encouragement to all of us on this line. I will sing two verses or three verses. How sweet are the tidings. How sweet are the tidings that greets the pilgrim here as he wanders in exile from home. Soon, soon will the Savior in glory appear, and soon will the kingdom come. There we meet near to part in a happy Eden song. Sweet songs of redemption we sing. From the north, from the south, all the ransomed shall come and worship our heavenly King. He is coming soon, I know.
Sorry.
Coming back to this earth again. And the weary pilgrims, where to glory go when the Savior comes to me? Hallelujah, amen, hallelujah again. Soon if faithful we all shall be there. Oh, be watchful, be hopeful, be joyful till then. And the crown of our glory will wear. He is coming, coming, coming soon, I know. Coming back to this earth again. And the weary pilgrims, where to glory go when the Savior comes to reign. Okay, my dear brothers and sisters, let's all prepare for his coming, because he's coming again, and he's coming soon. Have a wonderful Sabbath, all of my brothers and sisters on this line. Thank you, Sister Carlo, for opening my line.
Amen.
Thank you.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Sister Tontanelli, for coming on and sharing that song, and we will keep you in prayer. And the family that has lost their loved one, you will be in our prayers, my sisters. Thank you again. Amen, amen. Mm-hmm. Brothers and sisters, we have to truly lift up our brothers and sisters and families and friends that are losing loved ones, because we know it's not easy to lose a loved one. Some, especially if they're young or not sick or just passed suddenly, it's really hard to lose such a one. But we know God is faithful. God is righteous. He's just, and he gives us choices. And we just have to choose him and pray that these people have received the Lord as their Savior. So I'm going to the next caller. Again, thank you for joining us, brothers and sisters. Welcome this evening to Advent Light Ministry Prayer Line, 518-650. Your line is now open. Five one eight six five zero. Is this Sister Barnaby?
Yes, Sister Carla. Good evening. Happy Sabbath.
Good evening.
Thank you for opening my line.
Amen.
I would like to sing a Sabbath song. Can I sing it?
Yes, amen. Go ahead, my sister.
Yes. Holy day, Jehovah, rest of creation, week the best, last of all the chosen seven, bless of God to man was given. Welcome, glad we hail each present blessed. It's a great Jehovah's rest. For 6 days work was done, then the Sabbath was begun. Thus he blessed the seventh day, thus in resting we obey. Welcome. Glad we hail the presence blessed, is a great Jehovah's rest. Thousand have his plan reversed, resting now upon the first. Search the book and you shall know, there's no scripture tells them so. Welcome, glad we hail his present bless, this a great Jehovah's rest. All who speak the truth must say, it was man who changed the day. In God's word no change appears, through the whole 6,000 years. Welcome, glad we hail his present bless, this the great Jehovah's rest. Thus I search, and when I saw only one great Sabbath law, then I hastened to obey, plainly it was the only way. Welcome, glad we hail its present bless, this the great Jehovah's rest. And I would like to read Genesis 2, verses 1, 2, and 3. And on this, Genesis 2, verses 1, 2, and 3. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the hosts of them. And on the seventh day God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Lord, we thank you for your holy Sabbath. Help us to keep your Sabbath holy, Lord, because you have made the Sabbath, you have sanctified it, you have blessed it, you have set it apart as a holy day. So, Lord, whatever we do, O God, help us to put away self and let the Holy Spirit take full control, so that whatever we do, everything may be done to your name, to your honor, and to your glory. Please bless this prayer line with all of us along with our families, oh God. We come before you. Nothing in our hands we bring this evening, Lord, this holy Sabbath evening, as the Sabbath began. But simply to you we come. We come to you, Lord, because we are unworthy, we are unholy, we are undone, we are nothing good. It's just because of your grace and your mercy, dear God, why we are here this evening. So, Lord, we just want to thank you. We just want to praise you. We just want to magnify your God. We just want to give you all the honor, all the glory, and all the praise that belong to you. You is a God who never change. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. Lord, you are everywhere at the same time, beholding the good and the evil. Heavenly Father, we come. Because we know you are God and we know there is nothing we can do of our own. So please, Lord, do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. Mighty God, we want to be like you in mind, body, and spirit. So, Lord, help us to get rid of our sin. Help us to get rid of everything that is unlike you out of our life. And to come boldly before the throne of grace, dear God, so that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Lord, you see our needs. Not our wants, oh God, our needs. Please supply them according to your riches in glory. Lord, you see our children, our grandchildren, our family members, oh God, we put them before you, Jesus. We are asking you to anoint them from the crown of their head to the sole of their feet. Creating them clean heart, O God, and renew right spirit within them. Lord, cast them not away from your presence and take not your Holy Spirit from them. Restore unto them the joy of your salvation, Father, and uphold them with your free spirit. God, you are a mighty God. You never change. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And Lord, as we come, nothing will come within our hand. But Lord, we are asking you to take full control of us. Be all over the world with every mother, every father, every child. Lord, so many things are happening. God, you do not blind. You know you are everywhere at the same time. So please, Jesus, please, Lord, have your way and let your will be done according to your will. Lord, we love you. We praise you. We magnify you. We exalt you. We lift you up. We give you thanks for all you have been doing, what you're doing now, and what you continue to do. Lord, as we go through the Sabbath, and not only the Sabbath alone, help us to be like you, to do what you do. And Lord, let our light shine so that others may see you shining to us. Touch us, O God, anoint us, sanctify and cleanse us. And Lord, send your holy angel to tabernacle round about us. Be with the speaker tonight. As he break the bread of life, let he not be seen, but let you be seen. And whatever he speaks, Lord, let it come from your throne. Thank you for hearing. Thank you for answering. Thank you for what you have been doing, what you're doing now, and what you continue to do. I pray and I give you thanks. In the holy name, in the blessed name of Jesus Christ, with thanksgiving. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Sister Bonnery, for the song, and thank you for your prayer, and also thank you for your presence here on this line. Without each and every one of you on this line, it wouldn't be a prayer line. It wouldn't be a coming together of brothers and sisters as we worship the Lord in spirit as in truth and in truth. And as day will be dying in the West soon, we have to take time to be holy, as the song says. Speak often of the Lord. Abide in him always and feed on his word, the living word, amen. Make friends of God's children, helping those who are weak. And as Sister Consonelli was talking about, those that are have to bury their loved one, at this time they're weak because of the sorrow that's going on within their heart. It's a forgetting nothing, his blessing to seek. Again, take time to be holy. The world rushes on, and we see that the world is rushing on to and fro, forgetting to spend time with the Lord, forgetting about the Sabbath. And they some tend to take up the man-made Sabbath, which is Sunday. But it said, spend much time in secret with Jesus alone. By looking to Jesus, like him, thou shalt be. We know by beholding, we become changed. And it said, thy friend in thy conduct, his likeness shall see. Again, we also take time to be holy. Let him, let Jesus be our guide through the Holy Spirit. And it say, and run not before him, whatever betide, in joy or in sorrow. Still follow thy Lord. And looking to Jesus, still trust in his word. My brothers and sisters, take time to be holy. Be calm in thy soul. We have to learn how to possess our soul and be calm and be gentle, be loving. Amen. And say each moment and each motive beneath his control, thus led by his spirit to fountains of love, thou soon shall be fitted for service above. And that is our desire, to be fitted for service above. Because in heaven, we won't be idle and everyone will be doing something. So it has to start here on earth. We should be seeking God's will for our lives. So let us pray, and I'll open the line for Brother Troy. I pray that all had a good day today and a good week thus far. So we will start with a word of prayer and take time to be holy and commune with the Lord. Kind and loving Father, we ask that you will forgive us of our sins, forgive us of our trespasses, sins of omission, sins of commission. You know our thoughts. You know our ways. You know everything about us, Lord. We ask that you will remove and blot out whatever iniquity that we have done or said, or whatever our hands have handled, our eyes have looked upon. Please, Lord, blot it out of your book of remembrance. Help us to be kind and loving. Help us to submit totally and wholly to you so that we can truly know that we are children of the Most High. Please bless each and every brothers and sisters on this prayer line, the unspoken prayer requesters, those that could not join us, be with them in a special way. Those that are joining us via internet, I ask that you will hear their cry and give them, answer their prayer. Give them wisdom and understanding, Lord, as we know you are soon to come, because we see everything that's happening around us. But you said to keep our eyes upon you so that we will not be distracted by what is going on, that it will not overtake us as an overwhelming flood. Please bless our speaker at this moment, Brother Troy, Brother Foster, be with his wife also. Sister Lorraine, please bless your ministry. I ask that you will speak to him at this time, Lord, and bless us that we will be able to understand, we will be able to retain, and we will be able to share the words and the joy, the peace that we have inside, that we will tell others of you and your soon coming and the preparation that needs to be made. We thank you so much in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now open the line for Brother Troy, 304-476. Your line is now open. Good evening. Happy Preparation Day. Thank you for joining us.
Good evening, my brothers and sisters. You hearing me, Sister Carla?
Yes, yes, we can hear you. Amen.
Yes. Good evening, my brothers and sisters. It is a joy and a pleasure and a privilege to be joining you, but for the very first time, Sister Carla, I thank you that the Lord put in your heart to call me to share today. And whenever I have a privilege and a responsibility to share the word of the Lord, I always like to share a message that is affecting me personally. And I'm hoping that in thus sharing, there will be brothers and sisters who can get a joy and assimilation or a feeling of, yes, I understand what the brother is saying. And if not, it will be a teaching moment, because we all are in the school of Jesus Christ by God's grace. Today, I want to share a message that is being on my heart. All of us, most of us, have a favorite devotional book. Mine, as of late, have been This Day with God, or At Dawn with God. So I've read it. I studied it. It's one of my source of joy and comfort and admonition. And let me begin with a word of prayer again. I know you can't get enough prayer before I began to share this message today. And Father in heaven, we thank you, the Lord, once more that you blessed us during these hours that your Sabbath is upon us, the Lord. I want to pray for all the brothers and sisters on this line, anywhere in the world, internet or through radio, dear Lord, that you would bless us, that you would speak through me and us, dear Lord, and that you would give us that humble spirit and that teachable heart, dear Lord, that your words would manifest with your desire effect on us, that we become Christ-like and Christ-mind in character and in our deportment, dear Lord. Bless us and keep us to this end, dear Lord, and bless everyone under the sound of my voice, because it's a blessing to read and to hear the word of the Lord. Keep us, dear Lord, and together, and open our hearts to understanding. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As most of us know, the Apostle Paul wrote almost one-third of the New Testament. And today I'm speaking to you. I'll be in Timothy, but mostly in Isaiah. And we as Seventh-day Adventists are known, or I used to be known, sadly, of the people of the book. And I say, but why? That's a past tense. Why we used to be the people of the book. And that kind of saddens me because we should be regain that title of the people of the book. And the people of the book is the people that would know the Holy Scriptures is the one that make us know Christ in a personal and intimate way. And that's what we want. That His words would live in us, and that in when His words live in us, He is in us, and that we could manifest His character in us. Paul wrote in 2 Timothy 3, he was writing to young Timothy, and he's telling young Timothy, and verse 15, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. And here it is, brothers and sisters, a familiar verse. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, meaning blameless, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So we show, most of us know, Brother James spoke that we show our faith through our works, and that faith without works is dead. So we don't save by works, but our works or fruit is the manifestation of our being connected with Jesus Christ. So that title that I've heard, because I'm a convert, my wife and I are converts in the faith. She came in 2008. I was baptized the following year or 9. So we did not grow up in the message. And I'm hearing this talk by brethren or other people, or Adventists. We used to be known as the people of the book. And I want to propose to you, brothers and sisters, that we should, by God's grace, regain that title. But in doing so, I want to share with you what the Apostle Peter said. If you go with me to 1 Peter 2, verses 9 through 10, another familiar Advent verse, most of you might know it, it says, but ye are a chosen generation. Let me pause here. As Bible students, we know that every single Seventh-day Adventist is that chosen generation. A royal priesthood, all of us, not only the pastors or the elders or the deacons or deaconesses, every single one of us are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, of course, because we are the sons and daughters of John told us, a holy God, right? A peculiar people. And that peculiar people will be the focus of my message moving forward. Peter continues that you should shew forth the praises of him who had called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. John 8:12, Jesus Christ says, I am the light of the world. Christ proclaimed that he is the light of the world and he is the light of life. So with Christ, there is only light. Peter continued in verse 10, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which have not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. That's Brother Peter. Now, of the four characteristics that Brother Peter shared on 1 Peter 2:9, I'm going to focus on a peculiar people. So let me break it down, because we're going to go from here and we're going to segue transition to Isaiah. But let me first define for you what is a peculiar, what is something peculiar? Because I have to say, but hold up, if we are peculiar people, we're supposed to be standing out or different. The word peculiar means, it has, interestingly enough, it reminds me of motivation. And motivation is not necessarily a positive word. It's one of the few words then that I would say is neutral, because you can be motivated to do good things. And sadly, one could be motivated to do bad things. But we use mostly motivation in the positive. When I looked up the word peculiar, the first definition is really negative. It says strange, odd, unusual, bizarre, curious, weird, uncanny, unexpected, unfamiliar, abnormal, atypical, different, untypical, out of the ordinary, out of the way, exceptional, which is good, rare, puzzling, mystifying, mysterious, perplexing, baffling, irregular, singular, uncommon, deviant, aberrant, suspicious, freakish, questionable, eerie, unnatural, fishy, creepy, spooky, eccentric, idiosyncratic, unconventional, outlandish, offbeat, quirky, quiet, droll, zany, off-center, wacky, freaky, kooky, screwy, kinky, oddball, cranky, off the wall, wacko, dilly. I said, wow, this, I'm making a point here, brothers. We are called to be peculiar by Brother Peter. And look at all of the words that define peculiarity. I say, wow. Then there is the other end of peculiar, a more softer term. It says particular, special, distinctive, different, individualistic, distinguishing, special, specific, unique, private, essential, natural, identifiable, unmistakable, singular, conspicuous, notable, remarkable. So now we see that the first part of the definition of peculiarity is the one that we don't want to be associated with. It's way more negative in its connotation, but we see that there's a positive way of peculiarity, okay? So we could be distinctive. We could be characteristic. We could be special. We could be particular. We could be individualistic. We could be distinguishing. We could be typical, special, specific, representative, unmistakable. So either way you look at it, when one is peculiar, as a Seventh-day Adventist Christian, we are supposed to be standing out. The question is, are we standing out? So now, my brothers and sisters, let's go Isaiah chapter 8. Isaiah chapter 8. I'm going to read just verses, two verses there, and then I'm going to share some spirit of prophecy comment. Because we are used to be known, sadly, of the people of the book. What book? The Holy Book. That's what we used to be known as. So I want to reclaim back the title and become the people of the book and become like Jesus Christ, who inspiration say was firm yet kind. He was compassionate. He was loving. He was the embodiment of the agapeo love. As we learn through inspiration, when after he came back and he asked Peter three times, I was listening to a preacher saying, when he asked preacher if he loved him three times, he asked him if it's agapeo me. Agapeo is that love that Christ has for us. And the third time, when Peter got frustrated, he asked Peter three times if he loved him, because Peter denied him three times. But he asked him if it's agapeo me, and the agapeo love is the love that Jesus has Christ for every single human being. The last time he asked Peter if he loved him to feed his lamb, he asked him if he phileo me, which is the brotherly love. That was very interesting to me, brothers and sisters. So Isaiah 8 is where I think I want to go to share something that caught my attention in my devotion from this day with God. It was profound, to say the least. I'm going to take you to Isaiah 8, verses 11 and 12 only. And it read as follows. For the Lord spake thus to me with a strong hand. Isaiah speaking an inspiration here. And instructed me that I should not walk in the way of this people, saying, say ye not a confederacy to all them in whom this people shall say a confederacy, neither fear ye their fear, nor be afraid. Now, as a Bible student, I always find it interesting that Jesus Christ always says, truly, truly, verily, verily. So it's an emphasis here that Isaiah repeat a confederacy twice in a single verse. So I know by studying that the emphasis on that verse is not to form a confederacy with these people. So I went ahead and looked up the word, definition of the word confederacy. The question before I read that definition, brothers and sisters, are we a peculiar people in confederacy with the world, whether known or unbeknownst to us? Is a question that each one of you should ask yourself and ponder on it. The word confederacy means a league or alliance. It means a people or a group, an alliance of people or groups formed for an illicit purpose. So, wow. It's also a coalition, it's a consortium, it's a union, a consociation, an association, a fellowship, solidarity, a syndicate, cooperative, conglomerate. All of them, of these words, are come together for one purpose, for an illicit purpose. Isaiah just warned us here twice. In verse 12, say ye not a confederacy to all them to whom this people shall say a confederacy. So we have to, it dawned on me when I read this verse, am I in confederacy with the world or with the earth or with those that are not of our faith? I said, wow, this is something that I did not foresee. Two questions that came to my mind right from the beginning, brothers and sisters. Am I peculiar in my life, in my deportment, in my diet, in my lifestyle? in my conversation, which is, again, my lifestyle? And the second part of that question, am I part of a confederacy, whether known or unbeknown to us? In the beautiful book, Desire of Ages, page 390, paragraph 5, Sister White mentioned this. This is a bonus for those, for every one of us. It says, we should carefully study the Bible, asking God for the aid of the Holy Spirit, that we may understand his word. We should take one verse and concentrate the mind and the task, obtaining the thought which God has put in that verse for us. So technically, brothers and sisters, I could study that verse for months or weeks or for whatever time until I hear what or understand fully what the Lord has for me or for you. We should dwell upon the thought until it becomes our own, and we know what does say the Lord. Profound words written by inspiration. I'm continuing. This day with God, July 11th, today is the 14th, so like 4 days ago. And the first paragraph it reads, God requires those who claim to believe the Bible. I'm going to pause here. Everyone on this line, I'm praying and hoping we are claiming to be believe the Bible, the word of the living God. And we call it the Bible, but it's really the Holy Bible. It's a sacred word. It says, God requires those who claim to believe the Bible, the standard of Christian character, to bring Christ's likeness into all their service, that not one particle of the salt shall lose its preserving influence. This is where Christ was calling us. We are the salt of the world in Matthew 5. And it says that if the salt lost its savor, what is good for? It's good for putting on a man's foot. It's good for nothing. It can't season the food. So we are to present and be that salt, that light to the world in our character, in our deportment. And the Bible, which is our instruction for living this world, is to be the mantra, the book that would find Jesus Christ, get his character in us by his grace, that we could go and manifest his light of light to the world. That's why people are like to say, I see Christ in you. Because Christ is living, brothers and sisters, through every single one of us. That's why he says in Matthew 5, ye are the light of the world. And we manifest that light in our works, that Brother James says in James, that we show our faith by works and works by faith. So if I have faith and no works, it's as dead. The work is the fruit of that faith manifesting in our daily lives. And the light is the sharing that word with people. Again, I'm continuing under inspiration. The salt shall not lose its preserving influence. The Christ likeness is even to be preserved. The mind and the heart are to be cleansed from all sin and all that is unlike Christ. So as we continue to walk in this Christian life, I'm proposing and I'm going to continue to study in this verse. Sister Carla asked me today to share, but I am intending to study deeper Isaiah 8, 12, and 11, but specifically 12, because it is my belief, my humble belief, by what I'm looking in introspect in my life, we might have made an illicit alliance with the word, unbeknownst to most of us or beknownst to us. Either one is not good. I'm continuing. There is one of the books then that the, one of my sisters really enjoy reading is The Truth About Angels. And we know for a fact that angels are real. We know for a fact that each one of us have a guardian angel. We know also for a fact that they are fallen angels who are their only job 24/7 is to see us fall. When I lived in New York, one of my elders, Elder Antoine, mentioned something to me that I never forget to this day. He says, Troy, Brother Troy, part-time Christians could never defeat full-time devils. They don't have no holiday. There is no vacation time. There is no time off. There is no leave of absence. They're always on the clock. We have to have that same determination, that same drive, empowered by the word of the Lord and by Jesus Christ himself. Inspiration continues from This Day with God, July 11. God has duties for everyone in his service. For every church member to perform, his people are to exalt the power of the law above human judgment. Let me pause here right now. And we know we're living in that, most of us, in the United States and around the world, we understand that this big relativism movement is huge. Your truth is your truth. My truth is my truth. Oh, you have your Sabbath. I have my Sabbath. Oh, you have your belief. I have my belief. On all this ecumenism that is constraining us. And we know as Bible-believing Christians that that is false. And you remember deception, brothers and sisters, is truth mingled with falsehood. It could be, for example, 99% truth and 1% falsehood is 100% falsehood. It's like drinking pure water with 0.1 poison. It's still not pure water, although it looks to your eyes pure. I continue. So every person has a duty, a service. Every church member have a duty to perform, and we are to exalt the power of the law above human agency. Paul talked about the royal law being, Paul talked about the law of freedom. Another apostle mentioned that the law is the royal law, is the law of liberty, is the law of love. Above human judgment, by bringing the entire being, body, mind, and soul, and spirit, into harmony with the law. They are to establish the law. So in the second paragraph, under inspiration, we hear the law is here three times. We heard about being peculiar. We heard about a confederacy. So I'm getting my thoughts together. I'm getting to the point now because I'm setting up this presentation as I speak to you, brothers. So now we understand that above any other human judgment, we are to exalt or uplift the law of love, the Ten Commandments, the law of liberty, the royal law. And there's an interesting comment that I want to share with you from let me pause here because I have it in a particular order. And we're going to go now. You remember we already talked about peculiar, we talk about being a confederacy, and we talk about being a holy nation, right? So let's go now, and based on this reference that I just read here, that we're supposed to uphold the law above every human judgment, we are going to stay in Isaiah book, the book of Isaiah. But now we're going to transition quickly to verse chapter 5. We're going to go to Isaiah 5, and I'm going to read with you based on what we read about confederacy, about being peculiar and about the law. We're supposed to exalt the law above every human judgment. And I'm going to share with you, there is some woes that Isaiah spoke in Isaiah 5 that I think is related to what I want to share with you. And I'm going to read from Isaiah 5. I'm going to start with verse, for context, with verse 16, brothers and sisters. I'm going to go from Isaiah verse 16 to verse 23. And I have to bring in this here because Sister White mentioned that we should exalt the law of God as a peculiar people, distinct, and do not form a confederacy. It says here, but the Lord, 16, Isaiah 5, 16, I'm reading, brothers, but the Lord of hosts shall be exalted in judgment, and God that is holy shall be sanctified in righteousness. 17, then shall the lamb feed after their manner, and the waste places as the fat ones shall strangers eat. Verse 18 is the first woe. It says, woe unto them that draw iniquity with cords of vanity, and sin as it were with a cart rope. We know there's three kind of sin, brothers. There is sin, there is transgression, but the worst type of sin is iniquity. Simply put, iniquity is knowing that something is wrong and we continue to do so. It's the worst. All of them are bad. All of them are punishable, but the worst type of sin is iniquity. I continue in verse 19, brothers and sisters. Verse 19, that says, let him make speed and hasten his work that we may see, and let the counsel of the Holy One of Israel draw nigh and come, and we may know it. Second woe. Woe unto them that cause evil good. This is for today right now. And good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. This verse is reminiscent of what we live in right now today, with all of the relativism and the LGBTQ, whatever plus, this is what is going on right now. 21, woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. 22, woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine and men of strength to mingle strong drink, which justify the wicked for reward and take away the righteousness of the righteous from him. Wow. This is a mouthful. We just read five woes from Isaiah, and I'm linking them up with not joining a confederacy with those that are not from our faith. At the same time, I would like to regain, by God's grace, our peculiar status as the people of the book, the people of the book of love, I would say. This is what Sister White mentioned under inspiration and this five verses I just read. I'm still focusing on Isaiah 8, 12, but I have to bring this in context to make you see where I'm going with this. In Review and Herald, if you're taking note, Review and Herald, October 21st, 1902, Sister Wright make a comment on these verses I just read. Satanic agencies are constantly at work. You see, I just told you that part-time Christians could never defeat full-time evil angels. So satanic agencies are constantly at work, sowing and watering the seeds of rebellion against the law of God. And what she said today, that we should exalt the power of law above every human agent judgment. You see how it relates? So she writing, it makes sense. She continues. And Satan is gathering souls under his black banner of revolt. He forms a confederacy with human beings to contend against purity and holiness. I got to pause here, brothers and sisters. So there's not only angels in play here. There are human beings like you and I who are joining in the confederacy with Satan. And we don't know how many of them are in our faith, but it is understood that they are. And you're going to see, I'm going to share that later on. This was written, by the way, in 1902. She said, Satan is gathering souls under his black banner of revolt. He forms a confederacy. And a confederacy, brothers and sisters, to remind you, is any group that are joined for an illicit purpose. So there's never a confederacy that is for a legitimate or a wholesome purpose. It's always for an illicit purpose. Keep that in mind. He, Satan, has worked diligently, perseveringly, increasing the numbers who will confederate with him. Wow. By his representation, he seeks to widen the distance between heaven and earth. And he grows into his conviction that he can. You know what Satan is thinking, brothers and sisters? This is profound. This is profound. Let me read it slowly because I want to make you get it. It's Review and Herald, October 21st, 1902. She's commenting on Isaiah chapter 5, verses 18 to 23. She says, satanic verses, inspiration, this is inspiration, satanic agencies are constantly at work sowing and watering. So they are planting and watering the seeds of rebellion. We know rebellion is the sin of witchcraft. It's one of the worst sins against the law of God, the law of love, the law of liberty, the royal law, right? And it's gathering souls under his black banner as revolt. He forms a confederacy with human beings to contend against purity and holiness. He has worked diligently, perseveringly, increasing the numbers who will confederate with him. By his representation, he seeks to widen the distance between heaven and earth, and he grows into the conviction that he can wear out the patience of God, extinguish his love for men, and bring condemnation upon the whole human family. I got to pause here. We are in a definitely deep, deep war, unknown to us. It is brought to my attention by studying Isaiah chapter 8 about the confederacy. It sent me to Isaiah 5. Then Peter mentioned that we are a holy nation, all of us, a royal priesthood, a peculiar people. That's every single one of us, brothers and sisters. But not only we have fallen angels, we have human beings who have taken on the black banner of Satan in working with him. We don't know if it's known or unbeknown to them. It seems like it's known because they join a confederacy, which is an illicit purposes, a union of illicit purposes. That is profound. And his aim is to, Satan's aim, I just read it here, is to wear out the patience of Father God that he may, you know what, forget about us and bring condemnation upon the whole human family. In my humble opinion is that by God's grace from the scriptures, that won't happen. But we don't want to fall under his banner. So my object today is to intercede with you that we may regain back that peculiar status that distinctiveness, that differentness in every aspect of our lives. Review and Herald, March 24, 1896. She continues deeper. Let the watchman of the walls of Zion, every single one of us, are supposed to be watching, seeing what's going on, looking, and praying. Every single one of us, and we know the walls of Zion is God's beautiful church. Let the watchmen on the walls of Zion not join with those who are making of none effect the truth that is in Christ. In John 14:6, Christ says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man come unto the Father but by me. So not only Christ, the truth, Christ is the truth is present truth, is also a person. Christ says, I am the truth, I am the way. So Christ, the truth is a person. And so Christ came and showed us that him is the truth. His words are truth. His law is truth. His love is truth. His commandments are truth. And I have verses for all of them, but I'm focusing today on the Confederacy. It says, let them not join the Confederacy of infidelity. Are we faithful, brothers and sisters? Of popery, which is Catholicism, and those that adhere unbeknownst or known to popery. And Protestantism. That surprised me. She's writing on inspiration. But then I remember by reading one of our, I think it's Pastor Keith says, or one of the pastors I study with says, the Seventh-day Adventist movement is not a denomination. We are a prophetic movement established by God himself. Seventh-day Adventist, we're not a denomination. We are a prophetic movement established by God himself. Even our name, the pioneers mentioned, was given to us by God. So let me repeat again because I paused. Let them not join the Confederacy of infidelity, comma, popery, and Protestantism in exalting tradition above Scripture. I got to pause here. Jesus Christ says in Matthew 59, in vain do them worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandment of man. Sister Carla mentioned about the man-made Sabbath, which is Sunday. Some religions, their day is Friday, which is preparation day. Any one of them, whether it's Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday, is false. During the Jewish economy, the only day had a name was the Shabbat. If you look in the middle of the Shabbat, it has the word Abba. God's name is in his day. Shabbat, S-H-A-B-B-A-T-H. And Abba, Father, is his word. So God's name is in his Shabbat. So it's not going to be in a fake Shabbat or Sabbath. And it says, in vain do them worship him, teaching for doctrines the commandments of man. It says here now, people in this world today are exalting tradition above Scripture. Is that that truth? Very much so. Yeah, but such blasphemy many years ago, there's a fake or this obnoxious thing called the Queen James or the Queen James, like they're making the King James, Queen James. They're exalting reason above revelation. Many of us miss something in Revelation chapter 1. In Revelation chapter 1, it says, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to shew unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass, that he sent and signified by his angels unto his servant John. So the book of Revelation, from Genesis to Revelation, is a revelation of Jesus Christ. So now today, people are lifting up reason above revelation and human talent above divine influence and the vital power of God and godliness. That is a lot. It's a mouthful. I'm going to add in my words now, that was some inspiration, that we are confusing feelings over facts. There are men now that claim that they feel they're a woman, or a woman would say she feels you're a man, but that is not a fact. But we are to accept that. The line of demarcation is coming. When is your right begin and where might end? Because if you feel, now your children saying they feel they're a cat or they're a dog or whatever they feel, and you have to affirm these things. We have to also study, brothers, and Christ mentioned, as in the days of Noah, so would it be during the last days. You guys know that. I don't want to digress. In this short paragraph that Sister Wright wrote in March 24, 1896, she mentioned that we're supposed to not join a confederacy of infidelity. The church, you and I, are his church. Let's be faithful. Let's not go into any sort of adulterous relationship. She mentioned popery, and I guess Catholicism and popery is so widely spread. Sadly, many of our brethren are having sympathies toward the Pope and the Holy Father, and that is shocking, but it's truth. And Protestantism, which is all of the other churches, who we know the pastor that died, Pastor Tony, that says the protest is over. The protest is over. It's good to know that we are a prophetic movement ordained by God and not just any nilly-willy Protestant movement. But we learn also that they are uplifting tradition. Same thing with the Sunday keeping, same thing with Easter, there's Easter eggs, there's all these traditions that people are keeping that are creeping in our midst. That may be why we are losing our peculiar status. Paul told us that the word is given by inspiration for instruction, for teachings, for admonition, for doctrine in righteousness. Isaiah mentioned five woes. Woes that those call light darkness and darkness light, that call sweet bitter and bitter sweet, that call good evil and evil good. Any kind of manifestation that goes contrary to the law of love that we stood silent by is a compromise with evil. We have to pray for the Lord to keep us rooted and grounded in his love and his strength, that when we see these things, we could show it with in kindness and firmness to those. Even first, it begins with ourselves. Because most of the times, we see these things in others, but this message is really for me. As Sister Carla called me today, this message is really for me, because I've heard it many times before. Adventists are used to be known as the people of the book. And I said, why? Why can't we still be known as that? And there is silence. And we are lost our peculiar status. And I'm saying, Why not regain back that by God's grace? And we can. Jesus Christ says, when the disciples asked him how to pray, he says, pray this way. Give us this day our daily bread. That daily bread is the spiritual bread, because it is the physical bread which we eat, and the spiritual bread, which is the word of the Lord. And says, Jesus Christ says, I am the bread of life. He that eat of me shall never hunger or thirst. That is in John 6:51. My wife just shared that verse with me. So when we eat of the book of the bread of life, of the doctrine of Jesus Christ, who is the light of the light of men, we will be empowered first to have a close, intimate, and personal relationship with him. Because we have to have a relationship with Christ first. We internalize the word to get to know him, and that will make us, because Christ was peculiar. He was different. That's what made him, he came to show us how we can live his peculiar life, his Christ-likeness, Christ-mindedness, his Christ-mindedness. In Christ's object lessons, if you're taking note, page 271, we are all right now, our students in the school of Christ, a school, by the way, brothers and sisters, of which we will never graduate. Sister White says we will continue to learn and study the cross throughout the ceaseless ages of eternity. So we are registered school of Jesus Christ, a school of which none of us would ever graduate. In Christ's object lesson, page 271, inspiration writes, to learn of Christ is to receive his grace, which is, I know that grace, we receive grace, is unmerited favor. But that is the definition of grace. Is that all? Christ is empowering us to have his character. When we learn of him, Christ, write it down, Christ object lessons, page 271, to learn of Christ is to receive his grace, comma, which is his character. That is how you and I, brothers and sisters, could be Christ-minded and Christ-likeness in character and deportment, because his grace grow in us. In Luke 9:23, it says, if any man would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. I'm going back to the issue of the Confederacy, because I'm thinking, Troy, Brother Troy, have I joined a Confederacy and been known to me, or even known to me? It's a serious question. Review and Error, March 19, 1895. I continue with this issue of the Confederacy to remind you again. I have to repeat it because it's important. And a Confederacy is an alliance of people or groups formed for an illicit purpose. We are watchmen on the walls of Zion. We are to watch and to pray. Under inspiration, we read as follows. The gospel is now resolutely opposed on every hand. Never was the confederacy of evil greater than the present time. I got to pause here, brothers and sisters. Sister Wright wrote this March 19, 1895. Today is July 15, 2023. It's like it is for this moment right now. Let me repeat it. The gospel, the good news, is resolutely opposed on every hand. How many of us have not heard that they're referring to the Bible as hate speech? How can that be? How can the word of love and of eternal life be the word, be a hate speech? But it is talked about like it's nothing. Never was a confederacy of evil greater than at the present time. The spirit of darkness are combining with human agencies to set their feet firmly against the commandment of God. There was a case just happened 2 weeks ago where the postal worker won the case, and he called Sunday Sabbath, and I was telling my wife, it's strange to me that not one rabbi, not one in this United States, not one rabbi or anyone, Chuck Schumer, all of those guys, and no religious entity that really uphold God's Sabbath, because it's not my Sabbath, it's not your Sabbath, came out as a publicly, Sunday, I'm sorry, it's not the Lord's Sabbath. But that's just what came into my mind. Not one rabbi in these United States, including Chuck Schumer and those guys in Washington, came out and said, no. Sunday is not the Lord's Sabbath. But we know it's an agenda. That's why no one said anything. That is clear as water. Traditions and falsehood are exalted above the scriptures. Reason above science. My son talk about AI, this constantly artificial intelligence. We know the most powerful machine that was ever built is our human brain. And yet that human brain that God created is making something called now AI that can potentially threaten human existence. Whether it's the threat is real or is imagined, it is talk about. Or AI might take over on the threat it poses. This billionaire guy, I think it's Elon Musk, the guy that makes Tesla, came out and said a couple months ago, they should hold a moratorium on AI because it's becoming dangerous. So the greatest human machine or a human brain is making an artificial intelligence, because we have natural intelligence, that's something that could threaten our existence. Again, is the threat perceived, it is imagined or real, it is talked about. So I have to mention it, because Sister White mentioned in 1895, under inspiration, that reason is being put above science, above revelation, and human talent above the spirit. So we see all these things, and their aim is to diminish the power of godliness. She mentioned we need a divine touch. We need a divine touch. Brothers and sisters, I hope I make the point clear that in these and this Sabbath day, we have seen clearly by scriptures and inspiration that fallen angels and human beings are joining in this confederacy against the law of God. And it has to be the law of God. The law of God is his glory. When Moses asked God to show him his glory, if you want to pause here, brothers and sisters, let's go to the reason why the law has to be attacked is because it's the transcript of his character. It's the embodiment of his being. And we know that Lucifer, as the Caribbean cherub, he knows more better than all of us what does that law contain. So he has to diminish that law or annul it, so he says, to make it seem that you can do as thou wilt. Moses, under inspiration, asked the Lord in Exodus 33, I'm digressing a little bit to make a point about why they're focusing on the law of God. He says, show me thy glory. He wanted to see the Lord. The Lord says, you cannot see me and live. So the Lord passed in a cloud, covered his backside, and showed him his glory. That's how Moses was able to continue to live. And this is what the Lord says to Moses when he was showing him his glory. And the Lord passed by before him. Exodus 34, 6 and 7. And here, what is the glory of the Lord? And the Exodus 34, 6, Moses asked a question in Exodus 33, where he asked the Lord to show him his glory. And God is answering his petition. And the Lord passed by, Exodus 34:6, before him and proclaimed, the Lord, God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands and forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. That is the three type of sin right there. And that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children unto the third and fourth generation. So the Bible teaches us that the glory of God, which is his character, is embodiment in goodness, long-suffering, and abundant in mercy and goodness and truth. That those are all components of God's Ten Commandments of love. And the Confederacy is attacking or diminishing, they say, the character of God. Review and Herald, September 14, 1897. I read under inspiration, through apostasy, fallen men and fallen angels are in the same confederacy. So they are fallen angels, are fallen and fallen men making a confederacy, which is an elite, is a group for an illicit purpose. League to work against good. They are united in a desperate companionship. Through his evil angels, Satan contrives to form an alliance. Here it is now, with professively pious men. And thus he leads the church of God. He knows that if he can induce men, and he induced the angels to join in rebellion under guise of servants of God, he will have in them his most successful allies in his enterprise against heaven. Under the name of godliness, he can inspire them with his own accusing spirit. And lead them to charge God's servants with evil and guile. They are restrained detectives. Their work is to create feuds, to make brethren tongues in active service for Satan, to sow seeds of dissension in watching for evil and speaking of that which would create discord. I'm going to pause here. I know Sister gave me until 9:15, and I want to just make a recap in these last 5 minutes that I have. And I'm going to make an appeal. I know I read a lot. Sister Carla, if you want to have the references, I have them. I want to make an appeal. I started the message by all scripture in Timothy 2, verse 16 through 18. All scripture is written by inspiration of God and is good for doctrine, for inspiration, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. I mentioned to us that Peter called all of us here a royal nation, a holy people, a peculiar people. And I mentioned that Sister White wrote about a confederacy between fallen men and fallen angels. The question is, are they among us? Are they in our midst? Question is asked. Each one can have their own answers. But we can know people by, it is my desire, starting from me and my family, to regain back that peculiar status. In humble and a meek way, in all our life duties, from our diet, from our lifestyle, our dress, working, business, family, friends, in every interaction, inspiration says that we don't have no, every interaction that we encounter, it has meaning. It has profound ramifications. There is no insignificant actions that you and I are involved with. Everything has eternal consequences. We are children of the Most High. And it's my prayer, it's my desire, again, starting from me, because I don't know if I am that peculiar, if I'm that distinctive. But by God's grace, I want to lift up the light of life. He says, ye are the light of the world. He says, ye are the salt of the world. And Christ came to empower you and I, brothers, to live that light. If we have joined any confederacy, unbeknown or unbeknownst to you, any alliance that you know as you meditate on these words that is against what you know, let's pray on this prayer line to break them. And let's return to be known as the people of the book. And the people of that holy book, God says, ye are holy because I am holy. And we are a holy nation. We are a peculiar people, a royal priesthood. And becoming immersed in the word of the Lord, that in doing so, our close and intimate and personal relationship with Jesus Christ would be so rooted that our fruits and our light would shine, not with being no effort, but by just simply uplifting our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is my prayer. This is my desire. This is my aim. This is what I want for us, for this prayer line, and for those listening to me near and far, that we could study Isaiah 8, we could study Isaiah 5, and we could see, and if we are in any confederacy, any alliance, any group, any association, any stuff, and even, again, it could be unbeknownst to us, we have to break them. He says, we don't have no fellowship. And Paul says, I have no fellowship with darkness, but rather reprove them. But even I, or even most of us, might join any kind of group unbeknownst to us. So make a deep internal search. I certainly will. I'm making an inventory. We're supposed to make an inventory daily of our life and action, and then see and put it on the balance. I want to conclude with this verse. And I hope that this message would lead to this. I'm going to finish with Titus. It's one of my favorite verses. I'm claiming this, verse. And after this, Sister Carla, you could take over if you have any Q&A, it's fine with me. I want to listen. I want to finish my humble message today with Titus. And this is what I want for all of us in Book of Titus. And can you go with me to Titus 2, verse, I read verse 11 through 14. Titus 2, verses 11 through 15. I'm sorry. This is what I want to finish this message about being peculiar, about a confederacy not to join, about being the people of the Lord, and remembering that we have to uplift the commandments of God, the commandments of love, the royal law, the law of liberty, any human judgment. It reads as follows. Titus 2, 11, verse 14, 11 to verse 15. I'm sorry. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. And here it is, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise you, despise thee. These are the words that I want to finish my message today. And I pray that it was touching to you, and that it would uplift you and ponder on the words peculiar, confederacy, people of the Bible, and uplifting the law of liberty, the law of love, the royal law, the Ten Commandments, which is above any human judgment. And Titus just explained to me what inspiration said, and I'm going to get you the quote. I know it. She said, our first day in heaven would be as the last day on earth. That's why our character has to reflect the character of our Lord, Savior, Creator, Redeemer, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Brother Troy. What a powerful message. I've never heard a message like this before. And we want to welcome you back on this prayer line to if you need to complete it or any other message that you have, to bring to us. I pray that my brothers and sisters were blessed. I took down all the Review and Herald chapter pages and all the Bible, quotes. So if there's any questions regarding the topic that Brother Foster just spoke about, please press 1. This is only regarding questions regarding what Brother Troy Foster just spoke about. Please press 1. I pray that my brothers and sisters was truly blessed, because I was, and this is a lot, and I have to go back and read it and, share it, and like you, continue to learn, continue to search the word, because we can't just be hearers of the words and not doers, because we deceive ourselves. So this is powerful, my brothers. Is there anyone who would like to ask a question regarding the study? Please press 1 so that I can open your line. I don't know, Sister Powell, did you have a question or a comment? I'm going to open your line. Not sure. Okay. No? Okay. See that there's, I guess everyone is taking it in. There's no question.
Am I on?
Yes, you're still on. Yes, you're still on. Your mic is still open.
Thank you for thank the Lord for that. And yes, I would need to, this is a message in the working. So whenever I finish it with more information from the Lord, I would humbly like to finish it off because is it a message in working? And pray for me because this light just came to me this week. So whenever I have the message complete or in progress, I will let you know, and I would gladly and humbly share it with the brothers and sisters because it's a continuous study. And I didn't know about the seriousness of this confederacy and all we're losing our peculiar status. So even Titus mentioned it, peculiar people are zealous of good works, which is the fruit of righteousness. So I will definitely invite take that offer by God's grace. And I was touched because I am studying the issues, Sister Carla, so I am blessed just as you are.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Again, thank you. And we will be able to listen to this rebroadcast after 24 hours. The recording will be ready to listen to it. And brothers and sisters, may you continue to strive, continue to study, because God said we are peculiar. He wants us to be holy without blame, without spot or wrinkle. And that's a high calling. And we need to study. We cannot do it just by sitting down. We have to study. We have to dive into the book. And we have to become the people of the book again so that we can continue to show others and lead them back to their Savior,
Amen.
Their first love, Amen. Jesus. Amen. So, again, thank you, my brother, and your lovely wife, Sister Lorraine. I pray that the Lord continue to bless your ministry and bless both of you. And
Can I preach that prayer, Carla?
Yes, amen.
Okay, I want to preach that prayer.
Amen.
Father in heaven, we thank you, the Lord, that on this, your holy Sabbath day of rest, your family day, that you brought Sister Carla and all the brothers and sisters near and far together to hear a word from you, dear Lord. I thank you, dear Lord, that you open up our hearts and our minds to continue to understand the seriousness of the times that we're living in, dear Lord. I pray that every brother and sister under the sound of my voice, just as myself, would search the scriptures for themselves. And as inspiration, tell us today, just one verse, make it become part of you, make you understand it and get the message that God wants for you in that one verse. And in doing so, our characters, you and mine, would be molded and shaped into the character of Jesus Christ. Again, have a blessed and loving Sabbath day of rest. Continue to enjoy the sacred hours, this family time. And I thank you, dear Lord, and bless all listening right now that they may have joy and peace and rest in you, dear Lord, and may be a wonderful and blessed and holy Sabbath day of rest in you, dear Jesus Christ. I ask for all these blessings in your wonderful, marvelous, loving, kind name of our beautiful Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Brother Troy. Thank you, brothers and sisters. Amen. Happy Sabbath to each and every one of you. May God truly bless you. Thank you.
All right. Good night.
Good.
Creator.